You're listening to After the Storm, where the healing begins on UK Health Radio. I'm Brian D. Smith, founder of Grief to Growth and a certified grief guide, life coach, and author. This part of my journey began after the passing of my 15-year-old daughter, Shayna, so I'm doing the work too. Each week, we explore the journey through grief, not just surviving loss, but discovering who you're becoming on the other side of it. This is where the healing begins. Last week, I told you how gratitude, exercise, mindfulness, and self-care found me. One at a time, usually when I wasn't looking for them, sometimes kicking and screaming. Well, that's a nice story, but frankly, it's not a plan. This show is about you and practical things that you can do in your life. Knowing a practice helped me is not the same thing as you actually doing it tomorrow morning. I can hand you all four pillars, gift wrap, and you can still wake up Tuesday and do none of them. That's not a failure of understanding. That's just what being a person is like. It's hard to develop new habits. It's hard to do new things. That's our biology. We tend to stick with things that we know. So we're going to talk today about not the why. You've already got the why. Today is the how. What it actually looks like. How you're going to do this on an ordinary Tuesday. We're going to talk about why you're going to want to quit by week two. And we're going to talk about what you're going to do about that when it happens. Because it will happen. Welcome to After the Storm. Again, to just recap really quickly, last week we talked about gratitude, which is one that I fought. We talked about exercise, which is something I already have been doing, but kind of morphed. We talked about mindfulness and how I deepened that. And we talked about self-care, which showed up last with really no defining moment that it really came to me. The thing is, none of that matters unless you can actually do this, do it in practice. So let me talk you through a day in my life for right now, and then we'll move on to you. And this is not a highlight reel. This is an actual day, an average Tuesday, for example. My alarm goes off an hour and a half, actually more like 2 hours, before I need to be anywhere. I've got my calendar set up, so when people schedule appointments in my calendar, because I allow people to schedule automatically, they can't schedule before a certain time, because I want to start my day at that time. So I know when my alarm goes off, I've got a couple of hours before I need to be anywhere. But before my feet even hit the floor, before I even open my eyes, before I look at my phone, there are three things that I'm grateful for that I look for. It doesn't matter how small they are. In fact, small is actually better when you start this practice. It might be my little dog, Stevie, who's laying here beside me as I'm recording this. Stevie is 12 years old. Shayna insisted that we get Stevie, so Stevie is kind of a remnant of Shayna, and Stevie's had some health issues. So I look at Stevie, and I think about how grateful I am that she's still here. I might think about how warm the bed is. I might be thinking about the sun coming through the window, because right now it's summer, and it's actually almost light when I get up in the morning. So I just want to start the day thinking about what I have instead of thinking about what I don't have. That 2 hours is not luxury time. It's actually a reason the rest of the day works. It protects the rest of my day. I start off early because I don't want other things to impede what I want to get accomplished during the day in terms of my practice. So before my workday even starts, I've already done my gratitude. I've already done my exercise. And I'll talk about my walk a little bit more. And I've already started with some of my mindfulness before I sit down at my desk first thing in the morning. I go 6 miles out the door. I'm usually out the door by 6:30 in the morning. I usually get back here a little bit after 8. Not because 6:30 is a magic number, because that's what it takes. That's what I planned in the first part of my day. While I'm on that walk, beyond just the exercise, I'm spending time in nature. I'm doing mindfulness. I'm doing some sort of gratitude a lot of times as I see all the nature that I pass. I will think about my feet hitting the pavement. I'll look at the weather, the specific quality of noticing things. And, you know, sometimes I'll listen to a podcast that's uplifting or that informs my day. All these things are going on while I'm on the walk. So sometimes people might feel like, a walk is a waste of time. There's a lot going on while I'm doing that. And a lot of times I'll feel Shayna's presence when I'm on my walk. In fact, when Shayna first passed, that's probably one of the times I felt her most profoundly when I was out doing my walk in the morning. So by the time I get back to the house, again, sometime around 8, 8:15, 8:30, I've already covered three of these four pillars. I've done gratitude, I've done exercise, I've done a little bit of mindfulness. So then I'll come home. I will often shower then and maybe do my formal mindfulness, or I'll come to my desk and have a cup of coffee, maybe even have a little bit of breakfast, and then I'll do my mindfulness later on. But I try to get my mindfulness, my formal practice of mindfulness, done sometime in the morning. And that's my sitting for 20 minutes. So that formal mindfulness I talked about, that practice, I use an app called Insight Timer. I use it for a couple of reasons. One is it's a great timer, and it's also got a streak counter on it. Now the streak, how many days in a row I've done my meditation, it's a little trick that I do to keep myself motivated. Because I find with stuff like this, if you're not keeping track of how often you're doing it in some sort of sense, it's very easy to let it drift and let it drift and let it drift. And next thing you know, you haven't meditated in a month. It's not super important that you meditate every single day. It's not really important that you have a very long streak. Just as an aside, when I first started going for a streak, there was a challenge on Insight Timer to meditate for 365 days in a row, a year. And I took that challenge and I meditated for 365 days in a row. And I kept going. I actually got up to, I think, a little bit over 2,000 days. It was actually several years. And then I realized it had become kind of obsessive with me, and it was not a natural behavior, and I would do things to make sure I got my streak in, and it was just really more about the streak than the meditation a little bit. So I actually broke the streak at that point intentionally. And I remember talking to someone on my podcast, and she was saying that meditation wasn't necessarily a good thing, and we were debating this, but it had become for her kind of like it was becoming for me an obsessive thing, and she wasn't really getting anything out of the meditation. So I was telling her it's probably good for you to take a break for a while. So again, the streak has been broken for me. I'm at about 400 and some days now. If the streak breaks again, that's fine, but it is nice having that streak because it does keep me motivated to know I am at 400 days. I like to get to 500, whatever. I do that in the morning. I'll sometimes take a break in the afternoon and do a formal meditation then as well. Taking that time out, that's also a part of my self-care, because I could sit at my desk easily and just try to power through the day and get to lunch and then go from lunch right through when I quit at the end of the day. Taking those breaks during the day is part of my self-care. That's pretty much Monday through Friday. On Saturday and Sunday, it's a little bit different. I do take appointments on Saturday, so sometimes I have to get up a little bit earlier on Saturday, but I'm awake anyway. I'm a morning person, so I will do my meditation on Saturday and Sunday a little bit later. I'm flexible on the weekends. If I'm on vacation, all bets are off in terms of whether I'm going to do my exercise or not in that sense. I was at the beach in May, and I walked a little bit, but I didn't walk every day, and I certainly didn't walk 6 miles. So you can be flexible with this. One of the things I really want to point out is these are not four separate boxes that I check. It's really one rhythm, and they flow into each other, and they overlap. As I said, actually doing my meditation is a form of self-care, taking that time out during the day. My exercise, my walk, is a combination of gratitude, exercise, and mindfulness. These things kind of morph and change in each other and overlap. For me, if I take one piece out, the other three get harder. When I talk about these and separate things, they didn't really develop separately, but I put them into that framework so you could kind of see, you know, how they work. But they're very, very much integrated. And I wanted you to be able to watch how it happens for me, hour by hour. I read recently that walking 10 minutes after a meal is really good for you physiologically in terms of lowering your blood sugar and controlling your weight. So I've started trying to walk for 10 minutes after dinner. Frankly, I'm not doing that great with that because by the time I cook dinner and everything, I usually just want to sit on the couch. So that's something that I'm planning on trying to do a little bit better at. So let's talk about, that's a good day. Let me tell you about days where it doesn't go as planned. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I live in Ohio in the United States, and it might be, so I'm just going to say Fahrenheit. It might be 10 degrees outside or 0 degrees. It gets that cold here. Or we may have ice on the ground. One morning I was so stubborn. I was going to do my walk. I'm outside in the winter. It's literally dark. I live on a very sloped driveway. I'm walking down the driveway and I fell. And I actually hit my head as I fell backwards. I was like, I'm going to keep going. So I kept walking. And I was walking down probably 200 yards from the house. And I fell again on the sidewalk. And that's when I realized it's time to go home. So that day, I didn't get my walk in. Some days it's raining. So that doesn't always happen. In terms of the mindfulness, sometimes I'll be like really busy during the morning and I can't get that morning session in. Those things happen. Now, the thing about the gratitude practice is if I remember it at first thing in the morning, there's really nothing that's going to interrupt that. And it costs me nothing. Now, people talk about like having a gratitude journal. That's a great, great thing. Writing things down is really helpful. It helps bring it from your into your brain and really integrate it. But for me, it's just not something that I do because it requires more effort. That's just my thing. But all these things, it's not all or nothing. It's whatever pieces still fit into the day that I actually got. And if I'm on vacation, I'm not doing my 6-mile exercise. So that version gets thrown out at that point. I want to go back to gratitude for a moment. It's something I didn't say that I really need to say. It's not just naming these things. It's not just checking a box. Stevie, I'm happy about. My bed, I'm happy about. I'm going to dinner with friends tonight. It's actually more the feeling than the thought. So you want to hold that thought, but you want to feel the feeling. You want to feel what it's like to have what it is that you have. Another example of gratitude that I like to use, and sometimes I'll just do this during the day when I'm sitting in my office, the power is on, for example. Sometimes the power goes off. You know, every once in a while, there's no electricity. When it happens, I get really frustrated. I get really like anxious, like I can't do what I want to do. When's it going to come back on? And then I have this feeling of relief. I mean, a literal feeling of relief when the power comes back on. And suddenly you're grateful that you can get on your computer, or you're grateful that you can watch TV, or you're grateful that your food's not going to go bad in your refrigerator. So I'll just sometimes think, what would it be like? Or try to feel that feeling of what it's like when the power comes back on, just to get into that mindset. That's just another little thing I do to kind of play with myself in terms of gratitude. When it comes to mindfulness, sometimes I'll be sitting in my office and I think about the fact that I believe the world we live in is not the ultimate reality. I don't say it's just a simulation or just the matrix, but it's not real in the realest sense of the word. And I have lucid dreams sometimes. So sometimes in my dreams, I will know that I'm in a dream and I'll kind of marvel at what my mind has created. So sometimes I'll just sit in my office and think, wow, this seems really real. I'll look around at the walls and I'll look at my computer and everything that seems so solid and so real. And I'll try to just remind myself, this is not real on the ultimate level. This is also a practice that we do to have lucid dreaming. You will ask yourself during the day, is this real or is it a dream? So it's a practice to help with my lucid dreaming. It's also a practice to be mindful. These are just little tricks that you can play with yourself that don't cost you anything. It only costs you a few seconds, and you can do it right where you're sitting.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong? I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So that's me. Now let's look at your day, because this is really all about you. Well, here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to ask you to get up 2 hours early tomorrow morning and walk 6 miles. I'm not going to ask you to meditate for 20 minutes twice tomorrow. If I do that, and if you even tried it, which you're not going to, you might do it once, you feel like a failure, and you'd never do any of this again. Now, that's assuming that you're not someone that's already walking 6 miles in the morning or someone who's training for a marathon or something. And 6 miles, by the way, it's not a magical number. For me, it came down to I wanted to get 10,000 steps in a day. And for me, somewhere between 10 and 11,000 steps is around 6 miles. So that's how I ended up at that number. I didn't start at 6 miles. I started, I think, about 2 miles. But what you can do, it's again with the gratitude practice. This is the bare minimum. This is where I started, and I still start here. This is where I start. Three things before you get out of bed you're grateful for. Again, not written down if that's a barrier to you. If it means you have to go out and buy a journal and keep a journal by your bed and turn the light on and disturb your spouse, no. You can just think about it. Not just think about it, but actually feel it. When it comes to exercise, it could be 10 minutes. Now, my job is very flexible. I can walk, 2 hours before I go to work. It's not likely that you can. Maybe you could take a walk around the block, 10 minutes. That way you don't need a gym membership. You don't need any equipment. If the weather cooperates, you can do it outside. You might get a walking mat and you can actually walk inside. They're not very expensive. They don't take up a lot of room. So that's something you could do maybe first thing in the morning, or again, after dinner is even better. It's better for your blood sugar control, et cetera. When it comes to mindfulness, I do 20 minutes once or twice a day. You don't have to. Maybe 2 minutes of guided meditation. Maybe just sitting at your desk and doing deep breathing for 30 seconds at a time and doing that between meetings or, between reading emails, whatever it happens to work for you. So something small when it comes to these things. Self-care, setting a boundary, just saying no to something, not saying yes to something out of guilt. Taking your time to do these other three practices, that's part of your self-care as well. Saying, I'm going to set aside the time, I'm going to take a break here, and I'm going to go ahead and do this. So that's really it, just a couple of minutes of gratitude in the morning, some sort of mindfulness, maybe 10 minutes of walking, one time of saying no. You could do the entire list before you have your first cup of coffee. Small is the version that survives a bad week. As I said, I didn't start at 6 miles when it comes to my exercise. I didn't start my mindfulness at where I am now. There's a movie called What About Bob? It's a silly comedy with Bill Murray. And there's a scene where the writers, I know they're making fun of the psychologist who written a book called Baby Steps, but I love the whole concept. I love that scene and I come back to it all the time. And I always tell my clients about this. I'm a big believer in baby steps. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. When I think of like going from A to Z, if you try to go from A to Z, you're going to get lost. You're going to stumble along the way. But if you go from A to B and B to C and C to D, et cetera, you'll eventually get to where you want to go. So when it comes to this practice or this way of life, really, I'm trying to get you to integrate, just do it a little bit at a time and be successful. It's better to start off and be successful at small things than to start off big and fail at big things. So hopefully you've got some idea of things that you can do. And again, it doesn't have to be these things. When it comes to gratitude, it might look different for you. When it comes to exercise, maybe you don't like walking. Maybe you decide you're going to do yoga. You can go on YouTube and you can find things to do. There's something called chair tai chi I've been hearing about recently. So it doesn't have to be walking. I'm just trying to find the kind of the minimal entry level types of things that you can do. So find the things again that work for you and start to integrate those. But here's the thing that nobody tells you when they give you a routine or something that's supposed to change your life, no matter what it happens to be. You're probably going to quit. I cannot tell you how much exercise equipment I have laying around my house and how much I've thrown away because it looked like a great idea. I saw it on TV and I bought these bands or I bought these push-up bars or I bought the thing to do planks or whatever it happens to be. We get all excited. We say we're going to do this thing. We find out it doesn't really fit in our routine and we quit. Usually it's going to be around week two. So let me tell you why, so it doesn't surprise you when it happens. You're going to say, I don't have time. I haven't found the time for this. Well, I want to tell you this. You will never find the time for anything. Nobody finds time for anything. We all have 7 days in the week, 24 hours in a day. We don't magically find time. You have to make time. The same way you make time for a meeting you don't want to go to. So time isn't found lying around. It's taken from something else. Even if it's sleep, your time is going to be taken up by something else. So it's got to be a purposeful thing to make the time, not to find the time. I find for things that, and it's this advice I gave my clients for many years, and I finally started taking myself, is if something's important, you put it on your calendar. Now, there's an issue sometimes of putting things on our calendar. Say it's your mindfulness practice and you put on your calendar at, say, 10 o'clock. If you use a Google Calendar like I do I block it out so people can't schedule a meeting during that time? Or do I leave it flexible? So if I don't, then someone might take it. So I found an app that's called Reclaim. There are others now. I'm going to play around with one here pretty soon that do these types of things. But you can look for apps that do this because it uses AI. So I put it on my Google Calendar using this app called Reclaim. It puts it on my calendar, but it's kind of a soft hold. So people can still schedule things in. I can still schedule things in. But the thing about this habit, if I don't check it off at the time I'm supposed to do it, it actually rolls it over. But there's something about seeing something in your calendar that can be very helpful. So take this and use it however it might work for you. If it's just a matter of putting it on your calendar and that works for you, then great. If it's finding an app that can actually schedule it by AI and says it's going to be three times a week or whatever it is, use something like Reclaim. You're also going to find a dip in motivation. Week one, you're inspired. You're going gangbusters. You're coming out of the gate hot. You're doing this every day, and you're really committed to it. Week two, the inspiration starts to fade or even goes away. And then what's left is whether you're going to do this anyway. This is normal. It's not a sign that it's not working. These things don't change your life day one. The gratitude practice is going to feel like a waste of time. The mindfulness is going to feel like a waste of time. Meditation, for the first, I don't know how long it is, you're going to feel like, is this really doing anything? These things make changes slowly over time. Kind of like if you're going to the gym or if you're exercising to lose weight. You don't lose the weight all day one and you're going to have ups and downs. It's the same things with these practices. If you're looking every day to see, is the gratitude helping? Is the mindfulness helping? The answer is probably going to be no. And then you're going to lose your motivation. What you need to do is be committed to do it anyway. Now, there's a number that's called 21 days number for building a habit. Where that number came from, it actually came from a 1960s plastic surgeon named Maxwell Maltz. And he noticed his patients took about 3 weeks to adjust psychology to a new face after surgery. And he guessed that number applied to habits in general. And this thing got repeated for 6 years until it was gospel. So people think if I do something for 21 days, it's going to become a habit. But let's talk about what the real research says. A University College London study tracked people building a new daily habit and found it took 66 days on average for the behavior to become automatic, to become not conscious effort anymore, just something that you do. And that's been closer to my experience. 3 weeks, I don't think is long enough. It's somewhere more around 2 months. Now, there's a range. It's not just 66 days and then boom, it's changed. And it's different for different people. For some people, it was 18 days. For some people, it's up to 200 days, depending on the behavior. So the thing is, don't get discouraged if you've gone 3 weeks doing something and it's just like it's still a drag. It's still something you have to think about. And even if it's been 2 months, it might be a little bit longer. So it's not a matter of feeling the motivation. It's a matter of making the decision you're going to stick with this regardless. Now, the researchers also found something that's actually more useful than the number. Missing a single day here or there didn't meaningfully change how long habit formation took. That's important because sometimes we'll beat ourselves up over missing a day or two. And then it's like, I'm not really doing this. I'm not any good at it. I'm going to quit. That's the worst thing you do. If you, quote, fail at something, the thing to do is not to quit. It's to start over. You can always start over. I talked earlier about my Insight timer and how I love streaks. And I also play Wordle every day. And I love the Wordle streak. And sometimes I'll forget to play Wordle and my streak starts over. But when that happens, you just start over. So just because you didn't meditate for a day or two or didn't walk for a day or two, don't let that make you not keep doing it. And there's going to be a week where everything falls apart. You might get sick. You might have a crisis at work. You may have a crisis at home. You may have a bad grief day or a few bad grief days. And your routine gets flattened by real life at some point. Again, the goal is not to never miss a day. The goal is not let a missed day become a missed month. I mentioned earlier, when I go on vacation, it's kind of funny because everybody around me knows that I walk 6 miles every morning. And I'll go on vacation with my wife or my friends or whatever. And they're like, are you going to walk today? And I'm like, nope. I'm on vacation. I don't feel like walking today. I'm not going to do it. It doesn't mean when I get home, I don't pick back up where I was. I may not walk for 6 days in a row if I'm on vacation that long. But when I get back home, I pick up where I left off.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And then there's the guilt. There's the quiet voice that says you don't get to prioritize yourself. Taking 10 minutes for a walk is selfish when there's so much else that you can be doing, so much more productive things you can be doing, things that people need you for. You could work on that project at work. You could be doing that thing that your spouse wanted you to do. Don't let that guilt, that thing that says you're being selfish, stop you from doing what you need to do for self-care. Self-care is the one you're probably going to feel guiltiest about. And as I said, really, frankly, all these in a way are self-care. It's probably not going to be gratitude. It's probably not going to be exercise, and maybe not even mindfulness. It's the self-care. There's something in us that treats rest and boundaries as things that we have to earn rather than things that we need just to keep functioning. You need rest. You need rest just as much as you need exercise. You need rest just as much as you need to be productive. These things, as I said last week, exercise and sleep are kind of two sides of the same coin. We need to sleep or we need to rest and we need to exercise. I think of us as rechargeable batteries. There are things that charge us up and there are things that drain us. And you need to understand what those things are for you. And I'm not just talking about physical energy. I'm talking about emotional and spiritual energy. So for example, if you're an introvert, you might get charged from being alone, having downtime. If you're an extrovert, you may get charged from being around other people. So understand what charges you, understand what drains you, and kind of learn to read your own meter. Learn to know when you're running low. Learn to know when you have energy to do things that require energy, right? So self-care might be a matter of sometimes you would normally want to do something. Someone invites you to a party, for example, but you know your battery is low and you know that this party is going to drain you. Self-care would be a matter of saying, I appreciate the invitation, but I'm just not feeling it right now. And this is especially true when you're in grief. So reading your own battery, understand that is extremely important. Taking care of yourself is what makes you effective and present for other people. So I want you to think of this as not as being selfish, but as being responsible. If I take care of myself today and charge my battery, I'll have the energy to take care of others tomorrow. If I drain my battery, I will not have the energy. And if I keep doing that, I'm going to get to the point where I can't do it. It's not even a matter I don't want to. I'm not going to be able to. So I want you to affirm your worth, even out loud if you have to. You deserve to care for your own needs the same way as you'd say that to anyone else without hesitation. You would tell other people that they have to preserve their energy. You would tell other people that they have to set boundaries. But for some reason, we can't tell it to ourselves a lot of time. If the guilt runs too deep, that's worth talking to a therapist or a counselor about, not just trying to white knuckle through it alone. I've actually created a course on people pleasing, on how to stop people pleasing, because I had so many of my clients who are people pleasers, and I am one myself. And a lot of times when people ask me to do things, I would do it out of feeling of obligation rather than feeling of something it was something that I wanted to do. And I've had to really work hard to get to a point where saying no not just doesn't make me feel bad, but now I actually feel good about saying no, about setting boundaries, because I know that this is the best thing for me and for everyone around me eventually. Rest is not something you have to earn after suffering. It's part of the cycle of life. It's not a reward at the end of going through something hard. You don't have to earn your rest. You don't have to feel guilty, but you haven't done enough to rest. You always are worthy of the rest. You are not a better griever for running yourself into the ground. Self-care is how you keep showing up. It's not evidence that you stop caring about anyone else. Finding the time, the dip in motivation, having a bad week, feeling guilt. None of these things mean that the practice has failed. What they mean is that you're human and you're going to be human regardless. Accept your humanity, embrace your humanity, celebrate your humanity, understand your humanity, and go ahead and do the best you can. Now, there are some tools that can actually help with this. I mentioned a couple of software tools, Insight Timer. I also mentioned a tool called Reclaim. You don't have to even get that fancy. You can do a phone reminder at the same time each day. You can start to set a timer that says, I'm going to do 5 minutes of mindfulness while I'm sitting at my desk at 10 o'clock in the morning and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can do what's called habit stacking. What you do is you attach the habits you want to learn, the thing you want to integrate, to something that you already do without thinking. When your alarm goes off in the morning, for me now, my alarm is actually a trigger for my gratitude practice, because so often when my alarm would go off, I would set it to snooze. Before the second alarm go off, that's when I would practice my gratitude. So that thing's now, it's kind of like Pavlovian thing, Pavlov's dog, right? When the alarm goes off, I think gratitude, and I do my gratitude practice before I get out of bed. You can do it when, say, you're brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth every morning first thing you get up. You might say, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do my gratitude practice. I'll go in the bathroom. I'll brush my teeth. I'll wash my face. After that, I'll do my meditation for 5 minutes or whatever it happens to be. So attaching a habit you want to learn to a habit you're already doing could be, again, walking 10 minutes after dinner. At lunchtime, maybe, you say, before I get up from my desk to go to lunch, I'm going to do a little meditation. Or after I finish my lunch and I come back and I'm sitting at my desk, I'm going to do a little meditation before I open my emails. So again, those are some things, habit stacking and the reminders you can set. Streaks, I mentioned earlier, streaks work for me. I like streaks, but don't get too attached to the streak. It's not the number that matters, but it's kind of a little motivation, a little game that we play with ourselves. So having a more solid goal than an abstract goal, like I'd like to meditate every day, but at the end of the month, you know you haven't meditated every day, but you don't know if you've meditated 5 days or 10 days or 15 days. So having that streak, putting it on a calendar or something, something you can go back and look at and say, okay, I did it pretty well. When you hear me mention a tool, it's on my store at grieftogrowth.com/store. I have a lot of tools there that you can find that will help you with some of these things. You can also find an accountability person, and it doesn't have to be a therapist, just someone who knows you're trying this and maybe will ask you about it. In fact, you can find a buddy to do it with. Let's practice gratitude together. So let's try to make an effort to do it every day, and we'll check in with each other, or we'll practice mindfulness, or maybe you find someone to exercise with. But having another person to, accountability sounds so harsh, but to kind of take the journey with you, to help you to just know you're going to talk to them about it, can be a very motivating thing. And remember, you're not going to do this perfectly. That's not the goal. The goal is not to hit a streak of 2,000 days. The goal is to be consistent. The goal is to, when you fail to, or when you don't do it, to come back to it. It's almost like the mindfulness thing that we do. Sometimes people think that mindfulness is shutting off our mind or not thinking a certain thought. When we drift away from our mantra or whatever it is we're trying to focus on in mindfulness, that's not a failure. It's a chance to go back. When we stop doing our practice or don't do it for a day or two or three or a week, that's a chance to go back. That's a chance to start over again. So instead of thinking that as a failure, thinking of it as a way to build resilience, to come back to this practice that we're building. So I've talked about all these things, and again, it could start to sound overwhelming. And I was talking to someone earlier about people in grief and giving them frameworks and giving them systems and giving them advice. And it just feels like one more thing to do. And I don't need one more thing to do. Absolutely true. I want you to pick one of these things and maybe start tomorrow. Not all four of them, but just one. I was talking with a client just yesterday, and this happens. This is just an example. It's very common with my clients. I'm trying, Brian. I'm trying so hard. I'm trying to do all the things. I don't feel like I'm making the progress I should be making, but I am. I'm trying. This is really not a matter of effort. This is not a matter of if I just, I just have to put more into it. I don't want this to feel like a burden to you. It's really more like setting the conditions. I have a garden growing in my backyard right now. I got a raised bed garden thing, and I've got tomatoes, and I've got basil, and I've got oregano, and I've got all these things growing in there. And I think about it this way. I'm not trying to make them grow. They're not trying to grow. What I'm doing is setting the conditions so that they can grow. I make sure they have water. I make sure they have sunlight. I make sure they have soil. I fertilize them. I do those things, but still takes time for nature to work its magic, so to speak. So it's not a matter of efforting through this. It's a matter of setting conditions. These practices I'm talking about are setting conditions. And I don't like the phrase time heals all wounds, because time on its own doesn't heal all wounds. But that doesn't mean, on the other hand, that it's a matter of us forcing this to happen. It's really more of a matter of us setting the conditions. And that's what this GEMS framework is all about, setting the conditions to allow ourselves to grow, to become what we're supposed to become. Choose the one thing of this that most resonated with you. And it may be like me. You might say gratitude is bull hockey, and I'm not going to start with gratitude. Fine. I resisted it for a long time. Self-care didn't come to me for a very long time. Exercise and meditation were the two that really resonated with me. So choose one, the one that kind of grabs you, the one that feels like, frankly, the easiest. I'm the kind of person, a lot of times, I'll pick the hardest thing first. Shayna liked to eat the thing that on her plate that she didn't like the most to save the things she liked the best for last. But in this case, I want you to pick the thing that you like the most. I want you to pick the thing that sounds the easiest, the thing that really appeals to you, and try it. Try it for 2 weeks. Commit to trying it for a month. Again, that 21 days thing you might have heard of, that's not a magic number. The average is probably somewhere closer to 60. So maybe commit to trying it for 2 months. I can tell you with mindfulness, it took me much longer than that to actually start to really feel the results of it. But just start. Start somewhere. Pick one thing. Pick a small thing. If you pick exercise, don't pick, I'm going to walk 6 miles. Say I'm going to walk 10 minutes after dinner. And do that. Let that become a habit. Let it become ingrained. And then figure out what comes next for you. And set a goal that maybe in a few months, maybe you'll be doing all four things. This is not a race. You don't have to build the whole system. You don't have to implement, I should say, the whole system on day one. I certainly didn't. I'm compressing this in time right now to a couple of hours to get it across to you. But remember, it took me months to develop this framework. And then it took me months after that to realize it was even a framework. So just one thing at a time. Take a small step and see where it goes. And if it doesn't work perfectly, that's great. It's not really meant to work perfectly. It's meant to just work what's best for you. So you're not meant to be buried under a schedule that you can't keep. And that's the last thing I want to do to you, is to give you something that you can't do. I want you to start small with something that's small enough that you can actually keep it and allow yourself to grow. So that's it for the GEMS. I talked again in great detail last week about the why. This week I talked about the how. Hopefully this has made sense to you and you'll find a way to take action, because all of this is just wasted time if you don't actually take action on some of this and implement it again in whatever way it works for you. It may even be something that's barely perceptible. That's fine. You may just say, I'm going to have an attitude of gratitude. I'm just going to be more grateful in general. Start with that. Next week, we're going to be talking about mindfulness or meditation. I know when I mention meditation to a lot of people, their eyes kind of roll up. They say, I can't do it. They perceive it as something that's very, very difficult, something that's hard. And I'm going to say to you, if you've tried meditation and it's been hard for you, it's because you haven't found the right form of meditation yet. So I'm going to give you some alternatives, some different ways to think about meditation, to understand what it is, to understand what it is not, to understand the goals. We'll talk about a very specific type of meditation called turning within meditation that's taught by a friend of mine named Kelvin Chen. I've found it to be really effective for me. But again, I want you to really kind of think outside the box when it comes to this. Mindfulness, I believe, is for everyone. It's a practice that we should all be practicing in whatever way works for us. The problem can be finding the form that works for us. So what I want to do is set you up to succeed with this, give you some baby steps to start off with, and make sure we set you off on the right road when it comes to integrating mindfulness into your life every day. Because it's really not about what you do on the cushion, it's about what you do when you're off the cushion. So thanks for spending time with me on After the Storm. If today's conversation resonates with you, I'd love to continue the journey together. You can find more of my work at grieftogrowth.com, grief2growth.com. Find me on Substack if you want to interact with me. You can follow my newsletter there. It's free. You can send me messages. You can interact with other listeners and readers. That's grieftogrowth.com/substack. Hope to see you there. So until next week, remember, after the storm is where the healing begins. Thank you for spending this time with me on After the Storm. If today's conversation resonated with you, I'd love to continue the journey together. You can find more of my work at www.grieftogrowth.com. That's grief, G-R-I-E-F, the numeral 2, growth.com. Until next week, remember, after the storm is where the healing begins.